I was talking to Rabbi Bernstein a couple weeks ago, and I told him, I said, you know, at the congregation we were part of before, we were told, oh, don't do that. We don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I talked to the rabbi there, and the answer that I was given was something totally different than anybody else, any other rabbi I knew. I put it to you in those words. And the reasons that were given had nothing to do with the prayer. And the reason for doing the prayer seemed to be there was no understanding of what the purpose of even doing it was. So all of that being said, I just want to take some time to give you a little teaching on why something is done, what it means, why it's important, why we do it. I talked to Judy probably 3 or 4 months ago. I told her what we were going to do and told her why. And, you know, after hearing some things for years, you start believing things without even checking. You can believe something with no understanding. You can believe something with little understanding. You can even believe something that is just because it's been told to you by someone you respect. But if you do a little research, you can usually get there's a lot of information out there. You decide what you want to do with it. But information is out there should you choose to explore it. All of that being said, rabbis that I know and respect all over, one of the most, I don't say famous isn't a good word, well-known rabbis in California, well-respected, his name is Rabbi Bernie Kasdan. Laurel's been to his congregation more than once or many times. Somebody that I've learned a lot from over the years, very well-respected. Rabbi Joel Lieberman, he used to, when I was in another yeshiva, he was the Rosh Yeshiva there, all over the world. So there's very few congregations that are Messianic, that don't do Kol Nidre. If you don't do Kol Nidre on Erev Yom Kippur, then you're not even taking part of asking God to forgive Israel and help Israel to call upon you to bring Messiah back. That's a lot of it. So Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a day where we've made it to today. I want to tell you a few things about why things are done, why there are halakha, or what the rabbis have agreed, is this how we're going to do certain things, and why there are, you've heard me use these terms a lot, why there are minchag or minchagim, traditions. You know, in our congregation, we've got different traditions. You know, we have, for instance, a tradition is that we call the ladies up when the candles are being lit so all the ladies can come partake of that. That's a tradition of this congregation. Others may do it, they may not, but it's our tradition. It's not biblical, it's not anti-biblical, it's our tradition. Halakha would be that on Yom Kippur, there's this idea where it's expected, we all agree we're going to light the candles with the idea that we're called to spread the light of from the Jewish standpoint, spreading the light of God to the nations. From the Messianic Jewish standpoint, spreading the light of Messiah in particular to the nations and even to the Jews. So you understand the difference between a halakha and minhag. So you can't just say tradition, that's very vague. And so we'll keep on talking about these things as we move forward. But today's Yom Kippur, and it represents a few things. Most notably, it's the day Moses achieved complete forgiveness for the people of Israel after the sin of Zagal Echav, the sin of the golden calf. So remember, he came down, he had the instructions of God, the blessings from God to the people, and they had the golden calf they built. And so he had to go back up. He busted the tablets. He had to go back up, was given new tablets, and came down. So it also represents the day in the future where many believe it's the day that Messiah comes. I believe that. However, I believe he'll come he doesn't have to come on Yom Kippur in particular necessarily, but I do believe he'll come during the holy days. And I also believe this is connected to the scripture that says if the days hadn't been shortened, what days is he referring to? Well, the days of him coming back, but it's within a time frame. It's within the time frame, I believe, of the the Chagim, the holy days. Some of the things that go on today, just a few of them that you see. We've been in 40 days of asking for forgiveness. Today is a day where it's very common and very, it's like the last day to really ask to make things right before the books are shut. That's the idea and understanding. So you have people asking friends for forgiveness, family. I've had friends in the yeshiva. Rabbi Shapira just now sent a message to all the leadership. We've got a little Facebook group. And he said, please forgive me if I've done anything to any of you leaders over this year that has caused you to be offended or hurt, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the idea. So some of the other things that go on right now, it's very common to immerse in a mikveh. I'm hoping next year we can do that as a congregation. We've got to find a place to do it that's warm and big enough. Extra charity is giving. Parents bless their children. People verbally count their sins and ask God for forgiveness. This is usually done as part of the afternoon service. And I'm just giving you a few of them. There's plenty. And right before the fast, the holiday candles or the Shabbat candles are kindled. Another tradition of Yom Kippur is not wearing leather, especially leather shoes. As you'll see, I've got, and that's okay. And if I say these things and you have on leather shoes or you, that's not a, this isn't a, it's not a so what. On the other side, it's not a, okay, you're terrible. But the idea is, like everything else, you do the best you can with the understanding you have at the time, et cetera, et cetera. That's why you see I have on white shoes, but they're canvas. So that's the idea. And you'll see in the synagogues. I don't. No, so you got me there. See? Yeah. Yes. I'm going to get to that. I'll tell you, Stacy asked this, we were talking about this earlier. So not wearing leather. Well, let me say what you will see. Yes. How about I say a few things? I'll let you guess. And if you're right, you'll answer her question. If not, I'll answer it. How about that? There we go. This is good. But you'll see in the synagogue people wearing sandals, people wearing Crocs. So it's okay to wear something that is not that's not leather. That's synthetic is fine. And you'll see some people wear shoes that intentionally make their feet uncomfortable. I was looking for some. They're hard to find. I was telling everyone these shoes. I waited till the last minute and got them. They finally arrived yesterday. And my kittle, I thought this was coming from Brooklyn. It was shipped from Jerusalem, and it arrived today at my door right in time to iron it and come down here. So leather, what's your guess? The cow, it's a reminder of the sin of the golden calf. Because where do you get leather from? Sure. Yes. But we'll talk about that because there actually is still, when he comes back, they will still go back to that. But there isn't right now. In the time we're in, in the time when, especially up till recently, there was no animal sacrifice. Although, I wasn't going to bring this up, but since you brought some of them, I'll throw this in there. There is what is called kaparot that goes on among the ultra-Orthodox. And again, this is something that only a very small sect of uber-Orthodox do. Messianics don't do. Most of Israel doesn't do. It's where they have the chicken, and they take the chicken, and they have it, and they pass it over their heads, and then they butcher the chicken. It's a type of offering is what they're doing. The chicken is given secretly to charity. That's on my list here of things that happen. We're not here to deal with that. Yeah. So. So we'll leave that part alone, but that's part of what's done. But the other idea is that leather was once a symbol of luxury and high status, so not wearing it signifies that all people are humbled and equal. There's also the understanding most people don't wear gold because it's represents wealth or something precious. It's the idea of humbling. yourselves. And everybody is equal. Everyone, whether you're the rich king or whether you're a poor person living on the streets of Jerusalem, you had a day where you were equal with God, before God, to come before him as equals. So that's the reason there. That's the reason for that. So why do we get together? What is Kol Nidre? We're going to talk about that. And why is this important? Anybody know what just those words Kol Nidre means? So Kol means all. Like we say, Kol Israel, all Israel. And Nidre is from the word neder, which means vow. Vow, V-O-W? Yeah, vow. And so I want to read something to you here. Numbers chapter 30, verse 3. This is from Torah portion Matot and Maaseh. Numbers 33, this is regarding vows. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. When a man makes a vow to Adonai or formally obligates himself by swearing an oath, he is not to break his word, but he is to do everything he said he would do. When a woman makes a vow, and actually at this time I'd like to have Stacy and Jewel and Judy, come on and take your seats right here if you would. Numbers 34, when a woman makes a vow to Adonai, formally obligating herself while she is a minor living in her father's house, then if the father has heard what she vowed and obligated herself to do and holds his peace, then all her vows remain binding. Every obligation she has bound herself will stand. Scrolling down to 30:10, a vow of a widow, however, or of a divorcee, including everything to which she has obligated herself, will stand against her. And it goes on all the way through basically that whole verse or that whole chapter. And what is it? It's talking about making vows. Well, what's the big deal about making a vow? I mean, in Judaism, and we see it all through Scripture, it's never suggested you make a vow. You always be careful not to make a vow. You know, I mentioned to you, I was talking to somebody on Shabbat, and I said, hey, let me call you back in 5 minutes. And it was like 10 minutes before I called him back. I broke the vow just that quick, right? And so we have vows like that that we say. So you'll see in Israel, people will say, I'll do such and such for you. And they'll say, there's a Hebrew term for it, but basically in English is, okay, well, I'll meet you for lunch at 10 o'clock without a vow. In other words, if I'm not there at 10 a.m., if I'm late, you can't hold me to it. I haven't made a vow. There's also other vows that are more personal. If you say something like, this happens a lot in America and in the West on New Year's Eve. People make the vow that going into the new year, they're not going to, I'm not going to eat chocolate anymore. And the vow doesn't have to be made to God, it can just be uttered. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. So all of this is frowned upon in Judaism because the minute you have the piece of chocolate, then what happens? You've broken a vow that you made, and ultimately all vows aren't to people. Who is the vow made to? You're making it to God, whether or not you believe it or understand it when you're doing it. So this is why words matter a whole lot, what you say and what you do. And being careful not to make a vow. Numbers 30, this is around the time where the judges were being established. And in each city at the gates, you would have judges and you would have what was referred to as a Beit Din or a house of judgment. So if you made a vow and you needed to get out of it, you couldn't just get out of it. You'd have to go to a Beit Din, which was represented in the community or in the synagogue, in the city, by a group of elders that were chosen, who were leaders within the city, within the synagogue. This is why Stacy's sitting there, Jewel and Judy. They basically are sitting representing a Beit Din tonight that you would have to go to present your vow. And you may have made a vow that was very personal, and you broke it. And in order to, unless you got all the way to Yom Kippur when the Kol Nidre was said, all that you could do was to go to a Beit Din and have them and tell them what the vow was. And it was their job to dismiss it or not. So they're just sitting tonight representing that what had to be done. People say today, oh, well, we don't need all that. All we need is Jesus. We just go to him. And I would remind you, in effect, that's true. However, Yeshua didn't come to abolish anything that he was the one who set up in the first place. He's the one who set it up through the or with the Father, through Moses, through the leadership in Israel. Is this making sense so far? Any questions? Raise your hand. I'd be happy to answer questions. So tonight, as we come together, Israel has made vows, a lot of vows. All of us during the year, we've made vows. Yeshua said in Matthew 5:33, again, you have heard that our fathers are told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Adonai. But I tell you not to swear at all, not by heaven, because it is God's throne. What's he talking about swearing? Oh, I swear or I vow or I make an oath that I will not do such and such or that I will do such and such. He said, don't even do that. Don't do it. And I've been trying to be more in of the mindset of saying, you know, if Adonai says the same, because then I'm not making a vow. And in our Western culture, this may seem like it's no big deal, but we're held to these things by the courts in heaven. And we know things, we can all think of things that we said this year we were going to do that we didn't do. Or we said this year we weren't going to do that we did. Anybody? Is that kind of bear witness with everyone here? Continuing, Yeshua says in Matthew 5:35, but I tell you not to swear at all, not by heaven because it is God's throne, not by earth because it is footstool, and not by Jerusalem because it is the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head because you can't make a single hair white or black. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this has its origins in evil. I didn't say that. The King James says something to the effect of anything else is, it says sin. What is sin? Breaking the instruction of God. What's the instruction of God? Don't make a vow unless you're going to keep it. And if you don't, like anything else, ask for forgiveness. That makes sense? In Judaism, again, taking a vow is not encouraged. As a matter of fact, even right now, I want you to, before anybody says anything to anybody, don't make a vow or say verbally to anyone here or anyone for the next 26 hours that you're going to vow to fast. Because if you don't do it, then you've broken the vow on Yom Kippur. And the night before, you ask for forgiveness for renouncing the vows. Renouncing the vows that you made in haste or would in any case that you broke and couldn't do. That makes sense? And it's even a vow to yourself. We look at things and we say, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what about loving you too? That's in there. That's understood that if you love God, you're going to know how to love yourself. If you love your neighbor, you're going to love yourself. But it's hard to love we're the hardest ones to love. And we're the hardest ones to forgive when we make a vow and don't keep it. Amen? We had someone make a vow to me some months back, and I was waiting for something. I never showed up, never heard from him, talked to him. And I finally said, Lord, we're coming up on the Chagim, the holy days. If I don't say anything, then they think they've kept their vow, but they haven't, but I know they haven't. And we're friends, and I don't want to look at them and feel like, man, you know, they didn't keep their vow. But I know that it was the reason they didn't keep it, something must have happened. Because they're not ones to say something and not do it, you know. People of great integrity. And so I finally brought it up to them, and they just were shocked that, oh my gosh, really? We didn't know. We thought that blah, blah, blah. We thought that we had done that. No. So they're in the process of correcting it. But I released them. Before I even talked to them, I released them from it. I said, this isn't going to come between our friendship and our relationship. This vow that they made that they broke accidentally, not intentionally, but accidentally. And even if they would have broken it on purpose, I still would have said, you know what, Lord, I don't want this to come between us. Frank said something about a year or so ago, I don't remember, just in one of those conversations, he probably said this, not even thinking about it. But he said it, and I just sat there like I got slapped, because it just hit me like, wow, I hadn't thought of it like that. He was saying, and I'm paraphrasing, somebody, a friend of his, there was some type of, you know, they were talking in some situation, and the conversation was going a certain direction, and he wasn't in agreement. They weren't in agreement with it. He wasn't in agreement with it. So rather than making a stink, he just changed the subject or just, you know, whatever. Just let it go. And he said, you know what? And again, I'm paraphrasing. So I've known this person for like 10 or 20 years, and I'm not going to lose a friendship over that. And I thought, wow, that was really good. And it immediately reminded me of the verse when Yeshua said, be quick, and I'm paraphrasing, to make friends on the road, you know. And it's talking about this idea of, you know, two people can't walk together unless they be in agreement. You know, if you're walking with someone naturally or spiritually, let this little stuff go, because you can't be in agreement and come together. Even when someone else is doing something wrong, even when someone is disrespectful towards you and they shouldn't be. Rabbi Bernstein has been really hammering the last month-ish, or I take that back, scratch that. This is actually a recorded message that I was listening to. And he was hammering on this idea of being offended. And he said, nobody can make you feel anything. So start off with that as your baseline. Oh, they said something, it made my feelings hurt. No. They may have said something nasty and inappropriate and disrespectful and out of line and all of that. And you may have had the power to shut them down, to remove all of this stuff. And you just say, you know what? I'm not even offended by it. That's it. And you walk away feeling like, or I'm offended. I'm so mad. You know what? I'm going to get them back. I just made a vow. I can't get them back. I shouldn't have said it. It's not Yom Kippur, and I've got to come to the bed. And you know what I just did? I don't want to tell you guys this, but there's somebody, and I got mad at them. I got offended, and I made a vow to get back at them. Can you please ask the Father, for my release from this, can you help me with this? And then you go back away thanking God for his forgiveness, and also saying, you know what, next year or next time it happens, I'm not going to get offended by it. I'm just going to let them. This is life. Yeah. It's putting yourself in a position above God. Exactly. See? But if you don't understand that and don't see that, and then once you understand that and see that, if you don't accept it and start walking in it, it's like you didn't even know it in the first place. And it gets harder and harder each time. Because each time you want to get back even more. Each time you want a little more. Each time you... And then you just get to where you just say, you know what? No. I've got a friend of mine who is maybe one day she'll speak here if she ever comes in town. She is ordained through the yeshiva, brilliant. Graduated 5-6 years in there, and every particular holy days that come around, her rabbi and the congregation, the way they do things, it's not how we would do things. And so she sits there and she listens, and she doesn't say anything, but she said occasionally we'll talk because he knows all the training she has and whatnot, and she'll say, you know, Rabbi, I think you missed it on that. But she says it to him in private and respectful. And she said, you know, I would never say something during the service. And here's her quote. She said, that's not the hill I want to die on. And I thought, what wisdom. Tonight is a night of helping Israel. Representing Israel. Almost, we're not a Beit Din for Israel by any means. But we are here to intercede and help Israel. Help Israel finally receive Messiah. Amen? Concerning the fast has begun. Again, I said, don't make a vow to anyone about the fast, because you don't know tomorrow what tomorrow is going to bring. You can have all the intentions in the world, and tomorrow can bring something that is unforeseen. But I want to encourage you to fast as much as you can. And what do I mean by that? This fast isn't a fast of, I've got to prove something. This fast isn't a fast of, I can't have anything. That is the fast of fasts. But I want to encourage you to make this fast meaningful. So what I would here's what I would tell you. If you, a lot of people take medication. A lot of people may be having diabetes or diabetes symptoms. Or you need to eat. You may be at work, you need to eat. So what I would say is do as much as you can. But you know in your heart when you can say, Lord, I can go a little longer. Or Lord, I can't go and I'm shaking and I can't. And I know a lot of people who have struggled because they couldn't keep the whole fast. They didn't do anything at all. And I'm telling you, if all you do is an hour of the fast or 2 hours of the, whatever you can do, do the best you can. And the idea of the fast is that you're denying your flesh something so that you can draw closer to spiritual things, to the Father. And these fasts, it's a part of it is personal because of the personal part you're doing in it. You're talking to the Lord about forgiving you of the vows you've made. But the Kol Nidre prayer in general, it's not talking about any individual. It's not talking about any Gentile. It's talking about the house of Israel, the vows the house of Israel has made. So the idea is that when we do it together, you'll hear we're asking for forgiveness, that God would forgive the house of Israel, that we're being grafted in. We're continually being grafted into. Amen? Again, each of us have made vows this year that we have not kept. And a part of the recognition of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, is this idea of vows and of doing better in this year. Where do you think on the Gregorian calendar making a New Year's resolution, where do you think this comes from? That's where it comes from. In the West, sadly, many things in the West and a lot, I would say so many things in Christianity are exactly opposite of what was taught. The West would tell you, oh yeah, go and make a vow, New Year's resolution that you're going to break, you know, by the 5th, you know. I'm going to read my Bible every day. You get to about the 5th and something comes up. And then it's gone. You mess for the whole, or you make it to like the day 325, and you're just struggling along, scratching and clawing, and then you break it. You know, don't make oaths at all. Just sit down and read your Bible. Oh, but then on the Christian side, there's this idea of oh, you're making these laws, but they'll go and do these New Year's resolutions and break them in 5 minutes and think nothing of it. You see what I'm saying? So keep that in mind. And again, remember this Kol Nidre prayer is not a prayer of an individual. It's the prayer for a nation. It's a prayer for the nation who's under the covenant, who God made a covenant with them. We're helping them to keep their covenant by praying that God forgive them of the vows they made and didn't keep as they do the same thing. And as we're doing, remember the vows that we've made. And I want to encourage all of you, through all we do, to put your trust in the authentic Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, and never let go. And everything we do through him. Amen? This is where, as Messianics, we have something different to offer to the house of Israel that they need, our understanding and relationship with Messiah. Amen? Amen. So we're going to, at this point, we're going to go ahead and start the prayer. There's a very particular order for the prayer. I'm just going to ask when I get started, everyone just stand. I'm going to say it three times. And you can, not just yet. I'll let you sit for a minute so we stand in for a little bit. I'm going to say it three times in Hebrew. And each time I do, I'm going to get louder and louder and louder. Then together, I'm going to say it three times in Hebrew, then three times in English. Then together, we'll say a Hebrew one three times. And then we'll say it three times in English. And then at the very end, it's just the congregation says it three times in English. While you're hearing this in Hebrew, I want you to consider, and we're going to take a moment before we get started, just a personal moment for you to talk to Adonai about the vows that you've made, whether you knew it or not, whether intentional or accidental, in since last Yom Kippur, that he would forgive you and release you of those. Someone is famous for saying, oh, you're renouncing your vow you've made to Yeshua. You didn't make a vow to Yeshua. Unless you said you were going to do something, you're renouncing, you said you're going to do something. You received him as Messiah. You haven't renounced him as Messiah. You're not renouncing him as Messiah. If you told him you were going to do something, that's a vow you've made that you've told him, then you're saying, Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive the house of Israel for renouncing things they promised to God they were going to do that they didn't. That makes sense? You see the difference there? And I just want to be very clear on that, make sure everyone understands that part. Any thoughts? Any questions? No? You good? Thoughts? Questions? Yeah. Okay. I'm just asking. I'm looking around, just making sure I don't miss any. Yeah. Father, we come before you right now. We just ask you for just a reminder, Lord, of the things that we have said this year. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. And I'm going to take a moment privately where we can each of us talk to you privately about these things, Lord. So I'll turn our ears to God and our hearts to God and listen to the prayer as I deliver it in Hebrew. Or zarua latzedik u la yisrei lave simcha. Light is sown for the righteous and for the upright in heart joy. Slide 2, please. Al da'at hamakom ve'al da'at ha kahal beshi va shel ma'a u beshiva shel mata anu matarin lechit palel bein ha arba yanim kol nidre ve isre u shavua vach arame vi kuname vi henuye vi kinose dindar na U de ishtan barna, ud aharem na, ud desha arna, al naf shat ana. Me yom kipurim ze, ad yom kipurim haba, a lanu latova, behul hon, I echaratna. Bechon kolhon, yechon sharan, shevikhin shevitin bitakilin, u mevut alin la, sheriv rinvala kaya min. Nidrana la nidre ve esarana la isare ush vuatana la shvo ot. Yes. Al da'at hamakom ve'al da'at ha'kahal beshiva shel ma'ala u'beshiva shel mata uno matirin lechit palel ben ha'abayanim kol nidre ve'esare oshu vu'e ve'charame vi'kuname Vi hinu ye, vi kin use, din darna, u de ish ta bana, U de aharimna. U de ash ana al naf shatana. Miyom kipurim ze ad yom kipurim haba ulenu lotova behul hon I aharatna behon kulhon ihon. Sharan shevekin shevetin. Bi talin umevut alina linla. Sheriv rinvla. Ke yamin. Nidrana la nidre ve esharana la asre ush vuatana la shvo et. Al da'at hamakom ve'al da'at hakahal be'sheva shel ma'ala u'be'sheva shel mata anu matarin l'chitpala ben ha'abar yanim kol nidre ve'esre u'shevo ve'cha rame v'koname v'hinoye v'kinose din darna U de ish tabana, ud aharim na, ud ash sarna, al naf shatana. Mi yom kepurim ze ad yom kepurim haba, e lenu letova, bichulhon, I haradna behon, kulhon, yihon. Sheran shevikin shevetin bechatlin uvuta linla sherin vala kayamin nidrana la nidre ve esa rana la asre ush vaatana la shvoot. With the consent of the Almighty and consent of this congregation, and a convocation of the heavenly court, and a convocation of the lower court, we hereby grant permission to pray with transgressors all vows and other things we have made forbidden on ourselves, and oaths, and items we have consecrated to the temple, and vows issued with any expression, and vows which are abbreviated, that we have vowed and sworn and dedicated and made forbidden upon ourselves from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur, may it come to us at a good time. We regret having made them. May they all be permitted, forgiven, eradicated, and nullified, and may they be valid or exist any longer. All vows shall no longer be vows, and our prohibition shall no longer be prohibited, and our oaths are no longer oaths. With the consent of the Almighty, and consent of this congregation in a convocation of the heavenly court and a convocation of the lower court, we hereby grant permission to pray with transgressors all vows and things we have made forbidden on ourselves and oaths and items we have consecrated to the temple and vows issued with any expression and vows which are abbreviated that we may have vowed and sworn and dedicated and made forbidden upon ourselves from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur may come to us at a good time. We regret having made them. May they all be permitted, forgiven, eradicated, and nullified, and may they not be valid or exist any longer. Our vows shall no longer be vows, and our prohibition shall no longer be prohibited, and our oaths are no longer oaths. With the consent of the Almighty, and the consent of this congregation, in a convocation of the heavenly court, and a convocation of the lower court, we hereby grant permission to pray with transgressors all vows and things we have made forbidden on ourselves and oaths, and items we have consecrated to the temple, and vows issued with any expression, and vows which are abbreviated, that we have vowed and sworn and dedicated and made forbidden upon ourselves from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur, may it come to us at a good time. We regret having made them. May they all be permitted, forgiven, eradicated, and nullified, and may they be valid or exist no longer. Our vows shall no longer be vows, and our prohibition shall no longer be prohibited, and our oaths shall no longer be oaths. Join me as we say the next one together. The transliteration is on the screen for you. I'm asked for the congregation to speak lower than I do. And let's start together. Venishlach lechol adat b'nei Israel le'ager ha'gar betocham ki lekol ha'am bishgaga shlachna la'avonei ha'am chazeh ki godel chasdecha vika asher nasata la'am hazeh mi Mitzrayim ve'ar hena ve'sham ni emar. And again, v'neshlach lechol adat b'nei Israel v'lager hagar b'tocham ki lekol ha'am bishgaga shlachna la'avon ha'am hazeh ki godel chasdecha vi ka'asher nasata la'am hazeh mi Mitzrayim v'ar hena v'sham ne'amar. And for the third time, v'nislach lechol adat b'nei Israel v'lagar hagar betocham ki lekol ha'am bishga'a shlachna la'avon ha'am hazeh ki godel hasdecha vi ka'asher nasata la'am hazeh mi Mitzrayim v'ar haya v'sham ne'amar. And in English now, forgive the entire congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger among them for the entire people's sin unintentionally. Please pardon the sins of this nation in accordance with the greatness of your loving kindness, as you forgave this people from when it left Egypt until now. And there it is said, forgive the entire congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger amongst them, for the entire people sin unintentionally. Please pardon the sins of this nation in accordance with the greatness of your loving kindness, as you forgave this people from when it left Egypt until now. And there it is said, one more time, forgive the entire congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger amongst them, for the entire people sin unintentionally. Please pardon the sins of this nation in accordance with the greatness of your loving kindness, as you forgave this people from when it left Egypt until now. And there it is said, and let the congregation say this. I'll say it with you. Ve'yomare Adonai, salakti kid vorecha. I have pardoned them as you have asked. And in Hebrew again. Ve'yomar Adonai, salakti kid vorecha. I have pardoned, and Adonai said, excuse me, and I have pardoned them as you have asked. Vayimare Adonai, salakti kid vorecha. And Adonai said, I have pardoned them as you have asked. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time we've had together to unite with Israel, Father, to stand in the gap for Israel, O God, and pray that you would forgive them and show them your face, O God. Reveal yourself to them, O God. We thank you for this, Lord. We ask you to continue to help us and to lead us and to guide us in everything you're doing, O God. We thank you that on this Yom Kippur, Lord, that we would not be the same, O God, that we would be different, that we would be continually moving forward, O God, in you, continually growing closer to you, O God, continually understanding our place, our part, O God, the power of our words, the power of our agreement, to be in agreement with the house of Israel, Lord, to see merit come upon the house of Israel, Father, to see the bride being prepared, Lord, so that the groom can come back. So we thank you for all of this, O God. In the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen. And let's all stand. So let's recite together the Shehecheyanu together. This is a time where there is a little bit celebration. Why? Because we've just stood with the house of Israel all over the world. All day these prayers have been going on all over the world. Wherever there's a synagogue, these prayers are going on. And we stand with them one, as heaven is looking down. Rabbi Shapira, over the past weeks, he's been just really hammering it into us in leadership, saying, don't forget, don't grow weary of waiting for Messiah and his promises. Hold on to him. Don't forget. You know, when we look at things in the natural, we say, we can't do that. We can't afford that. We can't, whatever the case is, we get that in the natural. Yes? But sadly, that'll cause us to forget who we serve. So we serve the God of the universe who made everything out of nothing by what he said. But we forget that he tells us to do something. We say, we can't do that, Lord, because. And so let this be a reminder of coming into this year for us individually and for the congregation, that if he told you to do it, if he's put on your heart to do it, if you want to do it to bring glory to him, and at the same time you have the feeling, oh, well, you know, I can't do it. I don't have the this, I don't have the that. Don't give up. Don't forget what he said. It's easy to forget. It's easy to put it to the side and just forget about it. Trust me, it'd be very easy to do. But I just want to remind you, don't forget. And I want to have you make a vow, but then I don't want to have you make a vow. But I do want you to consider this idea of next year of, and don't even answer this again, but the idea of, you know what, I want to try and do it better. Not as a vow, if the Lord says the same with me. That makes sense? So we can do that together. That's something we can do together, is help one another to try to do better in this year. Amen? So with that, before we close, I want to recite together with you the Shehecheyanu. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Shehecheyanu vekiyemanu vehigiyanu lazman hazeh. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for giving us life, sustaining us, and allowing us to reach this joyous time. Amen, amen, amen. So I pray that your fast would be meaningful. Some people would pray that your fast would be easy and light. No, I don't want it to be easy and light for you. I want it to be meaningful. I want to see you, you know, if we were meeting for the break, the fast tomorrow, I want to see you coming in and just kind of swim, exactly. I can't. Coffee. But I just pray that we would all push ourselves a little bit with the idea of growing closer and drawing ourselves closer to the Father by denying ourselves natural things. And again, praying for bringing Samaria to the house of Israel, helping Messiah to come. Can you imagine if all of Fresno was here? Can you imagine if we had a TV camera right here and all of Fresno and all their houses all over the valley join in tonight? Do you think that wouldn't be powerful in heaven? See? So we can't, exactly, so we can't ever feel like, well, it's just us, just a handful of us. But as we saw last week on Rosh Hashanah, where we joined the live feed with Rabbi Bernstein and Ralph down in Australia was on, and then the congregation in Dominica was on after us, congregations in Florida, all over the place, we've got congregations that we are connected to, messianic ones. So I don't want to tell you to smile on Yom Kippur. However, thank God that our name, we know that our name is written in the book of life for good. Amen. And may we help others to come to that understanding in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. With that, we're going to conclude our service. And again, I wish you Gemar Hatima Tova. May your name be written in the book of life. May your name be sealed in the book of life. May you have a meaningful Yom Kippur. All of that is rolled up in these things. Even in Lashana Tova, you can't have a good year if you're not getting closer to God. if you're going away from him. How's that going to be a good year? So, Lashana Tova, Gemar. Everybody say this, Gemar.
Gemar.
Chatima.
Chatima.
Tova.
Tova.
Tova.